I like data centers so much, I wish I lived in one.
There are no non-clowns left in the clown car.
I think we are close to a world where you can have like a descendant of ChatGPT watch your computer screen all of the time.
We would like to have this AI stay with us our entire life and remember every single conversation we've ever had with it, right?
Watch every meeting you're in, like record every call, everything like that.
We're gonna leverage the power of AI and the new system performance to make it possible to access virtually anything you have ever seen on your PC.
Have perfect context of your whole life, everything you see.
It's gonna be, honestly, as if you have photographic memory.
I think we're only like one model generation away from this actually being incredibly useful.
What's your best guess on timing?
Like sometime in the next 6 months.
6 months.
With Wall Street heavyweights and Jensen Huang's subsequent attempts to alleviate concerns over circular financing.
The bubble will come someday, it's just not today. You know, this is in the very beginning of the build out. And someday—
3 years, 5 years, 10 years?
And if you are borrowing money to buy something related to the data center, okay, here's what you're gonna do. Tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m., sell it, no matter what. You will not regret it.
It's very unlikely in the next 5 years.
5 to 10.
Yeah, it's very unlikely in the next 5 years. And we'll see about the 5 to 10 years. It just depends on how fast we can build.
We are about to create a genie that can grant any wish.
I'm like a token maxer too. So it's addictive. It's kind of like, hey, I love this thing.
Whatever you imagined, whatever you dreamed, whatever you want to be better at, just tell AI and give it a chance to take you along a journey. And
in between the Anthropic CEO's wife being found in the Epstein files for asking Epstein to financially invest in her luxury adult video company after his conviction and placement on the offender registry, Anthropic and other AI companies like OpenAI have been preparing IPOs. Cloud companies and hyperscalers are hiding around $1.65 trillion in debt off their balance sheets to build data centers, and tech executives justify the reckless spending with increasingly absurd statements about AI. While the AI data center buildout continues, the market for tech stocks now has even wilder swings. In 1 week, in late July, chip stocks lost $1 trillion in market value before rebounding a couple days later. The industry's jitters affected virtually all tech mega corporations. Micron, AMD, Nvidia, SK Hynix, Samsung, Intel, and Google stocks bounced around with huge sell-offs and rallies. Memory makers SK Hynix, Samsung, and Micron each lost more than $100 billion in market cap in 1 day, before subsequently rallying, with SK Hynix and Samsung having their best stock market days on record in late July. Then the next week, the stock market hit record highs. It's folly to expect a rational market, but the amplitude of the waves at this point, from the drops and the climbs, seems to be compounding. And NVIDIA and AMD in particular have been scrambling to maintain momentum with an absurdly described AI growth curve.
I believe we probably need our semiconductor industry to be somewhere between, you know, 5 to 10 times larger than it is.
By 2030, the AI accelerator market is going to reach about $1.4 trillion by 2030. So what do you think about that? Is that a big number?
That's what you want in a CEO. Approval seeking. Is that a big number? If it's not, I can fabricate an even bigger fake number.
The semiconductor industry is probably going to have to be 10 times larger than it is today over the next decade or so.
In July, AMD said it would invest up to $5 billion in Anthropic in exchange for Anthropic deploying up to 2 gigawatts of AMD hardware. NVIDIA previously said it would invest up to $10 billion in Anthropic, so AMD is following NVIDIA's strategy, just minus $5 billion. AMD also signed a deal with crypto farm turned AI cloud Core Scientific, a neocloud that NVIDIA sugar baby CoreWeave failed to acquire, to deploy up to 2.5 gigawatts of AMD's data center GPUs and CPUs. As part of the deal, AMD can buy Core Scientific stock. And someone better call Dan Toomey of Good Work, because Lisa Su's got the gong out.
We have a gong. We'd love,
you to hit it
to on this commemorate massive the day.
Do I get to do this?
Please, yeah. As hard as you want.
Oh, there we go. Great hit.
AMD's CEO hitting the gong and investing in Anthropic seems fitting, considering that Anthropic CEO's wife previously talked with Jeffrey Epstein about hitting such gong while asking him for money. But anyway, as for cousin Jensen Huang, NVIDIA will reportedly backstop $250 billion for OpenAI to lease a data center in Ohio, which would be built by a company owned by SoftBank, which is the same Japanese investment firm that owns 13% of OpenAI, and Jensen's BFF, Howard Lutnick, gets the final say on whether or not it'll be built. We have a clip of Lutnick talking about his great friendship.
And we had lunch on the island. That is true.
Oops, wrong friendship. That's a different one.
You've been an incredible friend, an incredible asset. And as I said on our first time we met, You're a national treasure.
NVIDIA's wheeling and dealing lately doesn't stop with OpenAI, though. It also recently announced a $500 billion deal, $500 billion, with South Korea's SK Group, which owns SK Hynix. NVIDIA also invested $1 billion in the South Korean company Naver, gave a substantial pot of money to the humbly named AI startup Safe Superintelligence, and invested in a startup called Volta that makes it easier for startups to buy NVIDIA chips, because if NVIDIA can't give an AI company money to buy its chips, it'll pay someone else to do so. It really does feel like NVIDIA has become the bank of NVIDIA at this point. If you look at things like the Huan Foundation, Volta, and these other efforts to move money around, it's a way to keep the demand up on NVIDIA's own product, sourcing the money from NVIDIA to buy the product from itself or lease it back or something like that with other entities in between as extra steps. But the big three memory manufacturers are at play too, because they continue to signal to each other with their moves in the market. SK Hynix and Samsung joined Micron, all in securing long-term agreements to shore up memory pricing and supply. SK Hynix finalized long-term agreements, they say, with 10 customers. And Samsung and Broadcom agreed to a $200 billion deal for memory and foundry capacity over 5 years. So the memory shortage driven by AI and the data center build-out will continue to increase the cost of consumer electronics and decrease consumer access to technology. Meanwhile, the federal government is also busy, mostly gaslighting people, to keep the AI boom booming.
You have some communities that really want this. This isn't all negative stuff. This is, you have communities that really want the data centers. And frankly, those are the smart communities, because it means tremendous numbers of jobs, very little actual disruption.
Now, despite the industry and the government's best efforts, public sentiment has turned against AI. But OpenAI CEO Sam Altman knows how to fix this.
I have been thinking about how we can like organize field trips to a gigawatt data center for people.
That might be the most out of touch that he's ever sounded.
I cannot imagine having gone through that, like figuring out how to raise a newborn without ChatGPT. Clearly people did it for a long time, no problem.
Yes.
We brought you this video with store.gamersnexus.net and our upcoming Actually Human Crafted music, videos, documentaries, and movies on CD and Blu-ray, listed now on the store. These include a special black market disc version with a booklet containing a written text adaptation available in magazine-style print. We also have another disc case with retro IO floppy internal styling that we designed and 3D print for each order, including a spinning knob for mechanical functionality. We're using this one for our EVGA finale series, educational factory tour episodes, and documentaries like our Intel Fab Tour. Finally, our third version is an audio CD that features all of the custom music we hired Aaron Pauly from Of Mice and Men 4. When we asked him what genre to categorize the mix of cyberpunk and chiptune, he told us, human crafted. The AI GPU black market and smuggling documentary just turned 1 year old, so we're launching a special disc version of our Bloomberg upload. It features an in-house and human-designed 3D printed custom case, a Blu-ray disc with the documentary on it, a second disc included with bonus videos, and our Bloomberg screenshot and peak irony, and several of our disc collections also include options with USB drives containing high-quality MP4s that beat our YouTube quality while still making it physical. This is a great way to support us directly and get physical media in return. We're entering production for these now. We'll be burning the discs in-house and printing the cases in-house over the next 3 months, at which point we'll begin shipping them. Head to store.gamersnexus.net to learn more. AI absurdity has hit new highs as the industry scrambles to find something to show for all of its efforts. The AI grift has swallowed the entire technology industry, with the interconnected agreements, deals, investments, and dependencies, where the same companies keep passing dollar bills back and forth. And the AI mania is led by OpenAI chief absurdist Sam Altman and NVIDIA kinmaker Jensen Huang.
Somehow most people seem to still really prefer interacting with a human.
Yes. Somehow.
It is made up that there's going to be a singularity.
We are now like in the singularity, like this is the moment.
Don't create a narrative, don't create a story that is made up.
We are about to create a genie that can grant any wish.
And I encourage everybody to use cloud services as much as possible. Everybody should use ChatGPT and Claude.
Well, I have a huge amount of context. I mean, I'm like a AI model that's not that smart.
It's complete nonsense.
On July 26th, the Wall Street Journal reported that NVIDIA was in discussions to provide a $250 billion backstop for OpenAI as part of a 10 gigawatt data center project in Ohio. The project may cost more than $500 billion and be the largest data center announced to date. According to the journal, OpenAI would lease the data center project from SoftBank's energy subsidiary. NVIDIA's involvement would enable the developers to, quote, raise debt at more favorable terms than it could if OpenAI had no financial backer, since OpenAI has no investment-grade credit rating as an unprofitable private company, end quote. The Wall Street Journal sources also said that the U.S. government controls the power for the project, with U.S. Commerce Secretary and Epstein Island tourist Howard Lutnick involved in deciding which companies would be involved. The deal would be yet another of the circular variety among NVIDIA, OpenAI, and SoftBank. SoftBank has invested more than $64 billion in OpenAI, which translates to about 13% of the company, and OpenAI invested $500 million into SoftBank's energy subsidiary SB Energy last January. NVIDIA said it would invest $30 billion in OpenAI, despite backing out of its previous stance to invest up to $100 billion in the company. However, OpenAI may actually need more money if they want to put hardware in the data center after it's built. The journal reported NVIDIA was discussing a deal to finance the chips too, which could run $350 billion. Converted to a more stable currency, $350 billion is approximately equal to 2 yuans, or about 1/3 of an Elon Musk. No, wait, 1/5. No, wait. 1/2 now. No, wait. CNBC confirmed the Wall Street Journal's reporting about the $250 billion backstop. NVIDIA declined to comment to CNBC. We couldn't independently verify the reports, but they follow NVIDIA's strategy to financially support AI companies that buy NVIDIA's chips. NVIDIA is still an engineering company. It's just it seems like it's more of a financial engineering company now rather than an engineering company, where in instances that it can't lock in companies to its hardware with things like CUDA, it instead moves to lock them in or at least curry corporate favor with clever financial dealings. While NVIDIA has thrown its money all over the place to invest in AI companies,
we don't pick winners. And we need to support everyone. And it's part of our joy of doing so. It's an imperative to our business. But we also go out of our way not to pick winners. And so when I invest in one of them, I invest in all of them.
AMD hasn't invested in the AI ecosystem in the same capacity. When NVIDIA offered to invest up to $100 billion last year in OpenAI, AMD countered by giving up a piece of itself instead. AMD issued a warrant to OpenAI that would allow OpenAI to buy up to 160 million shares of AMD stock that would vest over time based on predetermined milestones. Jensen seemed perplexed at AMD's decision.
It's imaginative. It's unique and surprising. Considering they were so excited about their next generation product, I'm surprised that they would give away 10% of the company before they even built it. And so, anyhow, it's clever, I guess.
It's tough to live down disappointment from family, but AMD is done playing second fiddle to NVIDIA. It wants in on the bankrolling action for the AI ecosystem as well. We've seen a trend where AMD and NVIDIA follow each other with their investments. In May, AMD revealed in an SEC filing that it had purchased nearly $6.5 million in Marvell Technology stock. Marvell Technology makes custom silicon products and brands itself as enabling AI infrastructure. 2 weeks later, NVIDIA announced a $2 billion investment in Marvell. Last November, NVIDIA and Microsoft announced that they had invested up to $10 billion and up to $5 billion, respectively, in Anthropic. On July 22nd this year, AMD and Anthropic announced an agreement wherein Anthropic would deploy up to 2 gigawatts with AMD's data center hardware. According to AMD's press release, quote, Anthropic will deploy AMD Helios rack-scale solutions featuring AMD Instinct MI455X GPUs. Part of the AMD Instinct MI450 series, together with AMD Epic Venice CPUs, AMD Pensando networking, and Rockham software, end quote. The deployment would build on Anthropic's use of AMD's MI355X GPUs. The first deployment would begin in 2027. AMD and Anthropic would also partner to optimize Claude, Anthropic's family of language models, on AMD GPUs and accelerate AMD's Rockham software. AMD will adopt Claude internally with its engineering and product development teams. In return for all this, AMD said it'd invest up to $5 billion in Anthropic. AMD's consumer strategy for a long time now has been NVIDIA GPU price minus $50. And it seems like they're applying that same strategy to their AI bankrolling, where it's NVIDIA investment minus $5 billion. The scale's a little different, but it's kind of the same strategy. And AMD CEO Lisa Su isn't bothered by sharing pieces of the same companies with NVIDIA, because why would they be?
Is there any concern that everyone in tech is so intertwined?
I think it's always been like that, right? I mean, I think it's an ecosystem where we're working on this together. And in some sense, I think we are probably more aligned than we've ever been, which is actually a really good thing. When I say aligned, it's because these are such large investments over time, the more we know about what our customers need, the better prepared we can be for that moment. So I think that's what the AI world is such that you need every part of the ecosystem to come together. And so the fact that the ecosystem is intertwined is the way it should be. And
everybody is so friendly. Everyone loves each other. Even if they're competitors, it doesn't matter.
But despite all being friends or something, even when they're competing, it's okay, because they occasionally keep the facade up. AMD made a competitive jab at NVIDIA on July 28th when it announced a new infrastructure agreement with the NeoCloud Core Scientific. As part of this agreement, AMD would secure, quote, up to 2.5 gigawatts of data center capacity to support end customer deployments of AMD AI solutions, end quote. AMD's AI ecosystem would increase by 500 megawatts starting in 2027. Core Scientific issued AMD a warrant that would allow it to buy up to 30 million shares of Core Scientific stock for $23.47 per share. The shares would vest over time as Core Scientific deploys AMD hardware in its data centers. The whole thing's pretty interesting because the deal shows the budding interest in NeoClouds, or companies that provide GPUs as a service in data centers, and AMD's desire to own stock in companies that buy AMD's GPUs. It really does mirror a lot of what NVIDIA is doing. Core Scientific began as a crypto mining company before pivoting to AI. Out of the grifting pan and into the grifter, as they say. The company had a tumultuous first few years as a public company. Core Scientific was listed on the NASDAQ in 2022, unlisted in 2023, and then listed again in 2024. This is a good sign. NVIDIA sugar baby CoreWeave attempted to acquire Core Scientific in 2024 and 2025, but ultimately never succeeded. The NeoCloud industry rents out GPU capacity, making it a keystone at this point in this entire industry, where they've helped to manage make consumers obsolete, because they just buy the GPU capacity instead. And then they rent it to their customers. AMD doesn't want NVIDIA to completely own the NeoCloud business because that seems to be where they think the business is going. NVIDIA has invested in many such NeoCloud companies, including CoreWeave, Nebius, Nscale, and iRent. CoreWeave in particular, as we've often not joked, but stated very factually, is NVIDIA's sugar baby.
If we didn't help CoreWeave exist, they would not exist.
CoreWeave exclusively uses NVIDIA GPUs, and NVIDIA owns more than $3 billion of CoreWeave stock, or about 11% of the company. As we previously reported, even Jensen Huang's nonprofit foundation gave CoreWeave $108 million for computing capacity. So much for nonprofit, when it all just kind of circles back to you anyway, back to the origin whence it came. AMD, though, has been facing pressure from NVIDIA to make similar such investments, and this, we think, could potentially jeopardize AMD disproportionately from NVIDIA if everything were to all suddenly collapse. AMD and NVIDIA also both previously invested in Elon Musk's AI company, although that isn't working out for AMD, seeing as Elon has called NVIDIA GPUs, quote, the best, end quote. The AI industry has become interlocked and dependent on each other. We've known this for quite some time now as they continue to expand the base of the triangular economy that they're building around all of this. And lately, the move over the past several months has been to fortify the AI bubble, we think, with investment dollars that ultimately kind of go into data centers and neoclouds while they rake in billions of dollars in revenue. And case in point, you can look at the memory manufacturers, where there's still just three of them controlling most of the market. CXMT is a different conversation. We have a documentary on them. That's the Chinese memory manufacturer that's been on the rise lately. But Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron, as the big three, have maintained a unified message, no surprise, that there's no end in sight to the memory shortage. All three memory companies are saying the same thing, just like they've done multiple times in the past when being accused of, and in at least one instance convicted of, being a cartel. But we'll start with Samsung for the modern stuff. Samsung reported record earnings in the second quarter of 2026 with a 28% quarter-over-quarter increase in revenue. Samsung's memory business set a new record for quarterly revenue and operating profit by, quote, proactively addressing AI demand despite limited capacity with a primary focus on server products. The continued industry-wide upward trend of prices also contributed to the record earnings, end quote. Further, Samsung expects continued growth for server DRAM, SSDs, and HBM that'll keep the market, quote, undersupplied despite partial demand moderation in mobile and PCs, end quote. Partial demand moderation is an impressively creative euphemism for nobody can afford memory. Samsung also said these, quote, supply constraints are expected to continue, end quote, in its press release, and reiterated this in an earnings call. The Register quoted Samsung's memory EVP as saying, quote, the price increases will continue until morale improves. It doesn't actually say that. I misread that. Quote, based on the incoming requests that we have been seeing from the customers, unmet demand from this year is likely to carry over into the following year, contributing to tighter supply conditions going forward. The supply constraints are expected to become even more severe in 2027 than 2026, reinforcing our view that the supply shortage will persist through 2028, end quote. These shortages are good for Samsung's coffers. As shown in an earnings presentation, Samsung's semiconductor business sales grew by 56% quarter over quarter. Samsung recorded 89.5 trillion Korean won in total operating profit, with almost all of that, 89.2 trillion won, coming from the semiconductor business. That's about $62 billion in US currency in one quarter. South Korea's other major memory manufacturer, SK Hynix, is making similar predictions about the memory shortage. In an interview with Reuters from July 10th, the SK Hynix CEO said, quote, we forecast that next year will be the worst year in the industry's history from the supply perspective. We still forecast that customer demand will remain higher than our supply capacity even beyond 2030. But we are doing our best to solve the problem, end quote. At the end of July, SK Hynix reported its second quarter results, showing that SK Hynix generated 79.3 trillion won in revenue and 60.5 trillion won in operating profit. Its operating margin was 76%. SK Hynix said that, quote, revenue and operating profit increased by 257% and 557% year over year, respectively, end quote. SK Hynix also secured, they said, around 10 long-term agreements with key customers. In an earnings presentation, Hynix said that these agreements provide Hynix with, quote, pricing structures designed to address price volatility, end quote. These agreements would allow SK Hynix to better predict demand and smooth out the memory market's boom and bust cycles. Stated another way, it also helps them keep the prices elevated by locking them in with key clients. This is similar to the approach that Micron took to lock in price. In its last earnings, Micron announced 16 strategic customer agreements, with the largest agreements giving customers a price ceiling and a price floor. To no one's surprise, Micron also said the memory shortage will persist through 2027. Who could have guessed that the big three are all saying and doing precisely the same thing? Again. But there's one key difference. Micron CEO knows who to blame for the crunch. It's the customers. It's the customer's fault.
When we were coming out of the 2023 timeframe, which is when actually the industry, certain customers drove pricing significantly down in our industry, and that of course resulted in significant negative gross margins, you know, for certain customers, certain products, and that really impacted the investment capability of the industry.
If only Micron had more tax breaks and tax incentives and free government money to build fabs, then it could resolve the shortage problem. I mean, not for you or me, but, you know, like for NVIDIA and stuff. The memory shortage isn't going away soon. Micron, SK Hynix, and Samsung continue to set quarterly revenue records, and all three predict the memory shortage is here to stay, at least for a while. When the memory market is tight, all three of these companies do well. It's always been the case for them. But enter a new player, federal gaslighting. Despite community after community blocking data center development or establishing moratoriums, the federal government will do whatever it can to keep the good times rolling for AI companies. President of the United States and NVIDIA shareholder Donald Trump, who has traded millions of dollars of NVIDIA shares while president, really wants you to like data centers.
You have some communities that really want this. This isn't all negative stuff. This is, you have communities that really want the data centers. Very important, because you have to convince your community how great these things. You can't fight it. You have to go with it. And you're going to have all that protection, and we're giving you automatic protection, but you're going to make a tremendous amount of money. You're going to reduce taxes, and you're going to have something that if you don't have it, everybody else wants it. So these are the smartest people.
That's right. Trump wants you to not fight it, to just go with it, and to trust the protection. All things that definitely don't sound really creepy and concerning. Trump made these remarks during a meeting about the Ratepayers Protection Pledge, which is the government's claimed attempt to keep data centers from increasing electricity bills for Americans. As part of the pledge, the government asks companies to, quote, build, bring, or buy, end quote, energy resources to pay for their data centers' electricity costs. BYO Energy. More than 280 organizations have signed the pledge to date, including Microsoft, OpenAI, Google, Meta, Oracle, and CoreWeave. However, the pledge has also been criticized for its lack of enforcement mechanisms. It's also voluntary. Trump even called this earlier in the year good PR for data centers. And that's really all it seems to be, because one of the obvious concerns with this is deregulation. Power is not really something you want to fuck with without good regulation and understanding from everybody as to what it is the power generating utility is that's going near their house. And in this case, forcing companies to bring power internal leads to, we think, dangerous buildouts with minimal oversight and sets us back decades in terms of things as simple as, is the air you're breathing clean and safe to breathe? You see this, for example, like with Musk's Memphis facility in Tennessee that's been challenged because it is running gas-operated turbines for power on top of the facility, which residents contest has caused them to develop breathing conditions and disorders. A couple of days after the Ratepayer Protection Pledge briefing, the Environmental Protection Agency decided to, you'll never believe this, not protect the environment. They didn't do that part. On July 27th, the Environmental Protection Agency clarified a rule wherein data centers that use on-site power generation facilities that aren't connected to a public grid are not subject to regulations within the Clean Air Act's acid rain program. Yeah, if I could just get the government for a second. When you're talking about good PR from an energy program, normally you don't want it to involve sentences such as not being subject to the acid rain program. Just from a PR standpoint, sounds kind of bad. I'm sure it's not, though, right? The EPA refers to these as islanded power generators. In a release, the EPA said, quote, the guidance expands opportunities for companies to develop and operate islanded power generation facilities for data centers, end quote.
EPA! EPA! EPA!
The acid rain program is part of the Clean Air Act and would require emissions reductions of sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxides, two chemicals that cause acid rain, from power facilities. Even the EPA has hailed the program as a success for reducing fossil fuel emissions and benefiting the environment and human health. But that's the key, human health. We don't need those where we're going. The EPA is helmed by Lee Zeldin, who during his Senate confirmation hearing would not state that the US should reduce its reliance on fossil fuels. Likewise, in his Senate confirmation hearing, he wouldn't state clearly, would not accept that the EPA has a, quote, obligation, end quote, to protect Americans from disaster accelerated by climate change. The EPA's rule changes also fall in line with the government's AI action plan, which Lisa Su has been an advocate of. Last year, the federal government said it would reduce rules related to the Clean Air Act and Clean Water Act to expedite permitting for data center development. But the EPA's limp-wristed responses and reactions align with the federal government's expansion of its balance sheet. Last year, the government took a percentage of Intel, a stake in the company. And likewise, the government wants a piece of yet more semiconductor companies. On July 29th, the Department of Commerce signed letters of intent with seven semiconductor companies to provide $874 million as part of the CHIPS and Science Act, which the president has bashed relentlessly despite both his administration and Biden's administration funding the same act.
We had this ridiculous CHIPS Act where you give billions of dollars to a company and they didn't even know what the hell to do with it. But this was the Biden fools, those idiots that almost destroyed our country. But we're also reasserting the fundamental truth: to be a strong nation, you must be a manufacturing nation, manufacturing jobs.
The federal agency said that the $874 million would, quote, support innovative domestic technologies to dramatically increase the performance of the world's fastest computers, secure domestic supply chains, and strengthen U.S. leadership in the compute supply chain, end quote. The Commerce Department would also receive a, quote, minority non-controlling equity stake in each company as a condition for receiving the funds to enhance the return for the U.S. taxpayer, end quote. So once again, the capitalism isn't capitalizing. It's a little different strategy. Semiconductor manufacturer Global Foundries, which got stranded on 14 nanometer for years, received the most funding at $300 million. Global Foundries would use the money for research and development for, quote, next generation optical materials, wafer technologies, and advanced packaging, end quote. Global Foundries said the government would take about 1% equity in the company as part of a separate agreement. So the tech industry is not just in an AI bubble, but an AI psychosis as it looks towards clowns who are CEOs of these companies and are officials in government for some form of guidance, or in the case of Lisa Su, some kind of weird approval seeking.
So what do you think about that? Is that a big number?
NVIDIA has effectively turned into a bank for AI companies so that data centers will be filled with NVIDIA hardware. NVIDIA and AMD are investing billions of dollars in the same AI companies. Micron, Samsung, and Hynix keep breaking earnings records while downplaying the impacts on consumers and multiplying their margin on consumer products. The federal government wants to accelerate data center construction at the expense of the environment and your health. All the while, the tech CEOs of these companies keep making hyperbolic statements about what AI will or won't do. Every week, it's some new story about how some AI broke out of containment from Anthropic or OpenAI or whoever it may be, and it's this big, scary thing that can just hack anyone without any effort whatsoever, as if these companies don't have the technological capability to do a basic IT admin level job of not giving it access to the internet. No, no, this is legitimate. It can definitely just breach through all these different layers and get out onto the open web and start wreaking havoc. Surely, this is not some kind of PR campaign to boost the perceived value of the product that they peddle before they move towards IPOs. That's definitely not it. Why would they do that?
I like money.
OpenAI CEO Sam Altman said AGI has arrived. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang said the global GDP will increase to $500 trillion. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk said working will be optional in the future and that money will be irrelevant. Anthropic CEO Dario said AI could increase unemployment up to 10 to 20% within the next 5 years. AMD CEO Lisa Su said AI can be your friend.
The more we use it, the more it can help you. And this is all about getting consumers familiar with the technology and trusting that the technology can really be like your best friend.
And so we come back to the quote from Altman at the start of this video.
People seem to hate these things so much. What's to be done about this?
First of all, I have been thinking about how we can like organize field trips to a gigawatt data center for people, because it is one thing to say, it is another thing to see a photo or a video of, and then it's a whole other thing to just stand
there.
And be like, oh man, this is like an unbelievable scale. Building one of these is like order of 10,000 construction workers going full time for a year and a half. The energy that flows through one of these things could power a small city. Again, we've just like lost all sense of scale, but these would have been among, each of these would have been among the most expensive infrastructure projects that humanity's ever done. And now we've done a lot of them.
AI kingmaker Jensen Huang used to vehemently deny the existence of a bubble in AI. Actually, Lisa Su has done the same. But there was an interesting change recently where in a recent interview with Axios, Jensen Huang's narrative took a turn. And when answering a question about the dangers of an AI bubble, he said this.
The bubble will come someday, it's just not today.
Saying the bubble will come someday is a big difference from denying its existence altogether. And when diehard GN fan Bloomberg asked Jensen about it last year, in November, he said this.
Was that you saying we are not in an AI bubble?
I don't believe we're in an AI bubble. And the reason for that is we're going through a natural transition from an old computing model based on general purpose computing to accelerated computing. We also know that AI has now become good enough because of reasoning capability, research capabilities, its ability to think. It's now generating tokens and now generating intelligence that's worth paying for.
So there's a common thread here. The same executives who keep making lofty predictions about how powerful and scary and important AI is are also the ones who are getting filthy rich as they rake in through their companies all kinds of tax breaks, incentives, free money, investment from the government, government-aided build-outs of assets. However, companies are beginning to question the ROI of their AI investments. Investors appear to be more wary, and everyday people are dealing with the consequences, from higher prices for consumer goods to increased air pollution and rising electricity bills. The American public overwhelmingly disapproves of data centers being built near them, and the public is rallying against them in their communities. According to research firm Data Center Watch, local communities blocked or delayed 75 data center projects worth $130 billion in the first quarter of 2026. Most people don't want data centers near them. They don't want to hear them or see them. And unless they're Jim Cramer, they don't want to live in them.
I like data centers so much, I wish I lived in one!
It's complete nonsense.
Maybe it's time those two get a room. Preferably in a data center. Away from everyone else. Ideally in the section that's underground. That's it for this one. Thanks for watching. Subscribe for more. You can go to store.gamersnexus.net to support us directly in our efforts, or patreon.com/gamersnexus if you want to throw a few bucks our way each month. All this helps us with our deep dive reporting, which can take a long time to put all this research together and then bring it to you all through video. So thanks for watching. We'll have plenty more to talk about. Subscribe for all that, and we'll see you all next time.